though we have a quaint gathering this evening, to say the least, one of our objectives for this was to be able to post these to the website. The written Church 101 is already, in fact, posted to the website. Now folks could actually click on it and hear one of the pastors work through our basic teachings on what it means to be a Christian, what it means to participate in the ordinances of the Lord's Supper, believers' baptism, what is the mission of the church. And tonight, as we conclude, we're going to be looking at how we are organized for ministry and the very structure of the church. And in particular, we're talking about the local church. Now, in the New Testament, when the word, some pronounce it ecclesia, some pronounce it ekklesia, it's the Greek word, and it means the called out ones. When the church is mentioned, by and large, it is speaking of the universal, by and large, it's speaking of the local assembly. But there are times when it's speaking of the universal body of Christ, all those who've been born again. In fact, I had an interesting conversation with my mother-in-law yesterday in this regard. How is it that, there's so many different denominations and are all the people in, this denomination saved and all the people in this denomination lost? Well, let me say, first of all, we are not so narrow-minded that we think you must be a Baptist to be saved. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. You must become a child of God. There are many words in the Bible to describe that, many verb forms. You must be, redeemed. When you're saved, you're adopted into God's family. You become a child of God. You're born again. You're regenerated by the Holy Spirit. You're justified. You're sanctified. One day you'll be glorified. All these terms are used to speak of salvation. Not one of them says you must be a Baptist, or you must be Assemblies, or you must be Presbyterian, or you must be United Methodist, and on it goes. I did share this with my mother-in-law that there are some churches that seem to make things hard on people. Theology in some of the churches in our day, and I'm really speaking now of denominations, you almost have to be a genius to figure out the things that they have added to what the Bible says, the many practices that they may do that sometimes are in direct opposition to what the Bible has said. But here's what your pastor, here's one of the reasons why we call ourselves Christian with a capital C and Baptist with a lowercase b. We don't, while I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist, Pastor Mark, are you ashamed to be a graduate of the Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary? No, neither am I. I'm just going to say it, it's a world-class seminary. It's not a degree mill. If you graduate from Southeastern, you have paid your dues. It's a strenuous program, whether you're taking your Master's of Divinity or other postgraduate work. But at the same time, we understand that God has many people in His family that are not Baptists. So we like to say we're Christian with a capital C and Baptist with a lowercase b. And there are some folks, frankly, I believe, this is your pastor's opinion, who've been genuinely saved, but they got in with the wrong group of people. And the group of people that they're in with are teaching some things that sometimes are diametrically opposed to the Bible. And one of those is salvation any other way other than through the grace that is made known to us ultimately and supremely and exclusively in the person and work of Jesus Christ. In other words, if there was a single thing you could do to earn your salvation, that is called a works-based theology. So I think there are some people who are genuinely saved but happen to be sitting on the wrong pew, so to speak. And so I am not going to say, Brother Leon lost his dear brother, Don. And, when I get a call or a text or an email saying, hey, I have a loved one, the first thing I want to know is not, hey, were they Baptist? I didn't know how to say this gently, so I said to Leon, something to the effect, was your brother saved? Did your brother know the Lord? Oh, he was marvelously saved. you know, that is the thing. That is the thing we want to know, isn't it? That your loved one, you'll be with them in heaven. Not that you necessarily went to the same church. But having said that, here we are, and we are Southern Baptists. We are in a church that, you know, I am not ashamed to be a graduate of Southeastern Seminary myself. And so what we are going to teach is what we believe the Bible teaches about church membership tonight. So open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 2, and I just want to read a text of Scripture. We know when the Lord Jesus had been crucified, and on the third day, according to the glorious Scriptures, was raised from the dead, he told his disciples, "Tarry at Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And after that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses, beginning at Jerusalem and Judea and all Samaria to the uttermost ends of the earth." And that is exactly what happened. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and began to preach. And marvelous things happened that day. The children of Israel and others who were there became born again. They became saved. And in fact, the men and brethren, this is the kind of preaching that any pastor would dream for. When he preached, the people just stood up and said, "What should we do? What do you want us to do?" So he told them. Peter turned in verse 38 and says, "Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is to you and to your children, to all who are far off, and as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Wow, what an altar call that day. 3,000 people were saved. And the Bible says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together. They all had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. And so continuing daily in with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness, with simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Let's pray about that. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And we pray as we gather in these moments this evening that, Lord Jesus, as always, that you would truly be our teacher, that you would open our eyes and behold marvelous truths from thy scripture as we continue to study of the local church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, dear ones, tonight we want to talk about how Centerview Baptist Church is structured for ministry. And I want to say, just from the text that we read, first of all, the church is a fellowship. And that word in the New Testament is from the Greek word, and you've heard this word, koinonia. And dear ones, it's not about donuts and coffee. Has anyone got donuts and coffee? You don't have to have donuts and coffee to have fellowship. Fellowship is a partnership in the gospel. God has brought us into the body of Christ. And so the first thing I want to say is the church is a fellowship. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayers. When years ago, the Enon Chapel Baptist Church ordained me to be a deacon, Pastor Paul Odom, my dear pastor for many years, who is now in heaven, preached a sermon on the Lordship of Christ. And one of the things he emphasized to deacons is found in Ephesians 4:3. We are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so within the fellowship, within the body of Christ, we seek unity. We seek harmony. I remember years ago when the riots took place in Los Angeles. A gentleman named Rodney King had been pulled over and beaten, you know, ferociously by the police, and it was captured on camera. And then other people were being assaulted, and the city was being burned, and they got him to come on TV, and he said, you know, no one deserves to be beat like that, but you know, at the same time, I wasn't being perfect. Can we all just get along? Can we stop this? I just remember that. Can we all just get along? And God tells his church that we're to get along. We're to be in unity. We are to be in harmony. And the Bible says in Romans 14, let us pursue the things that make for peace and the things by which we may edify one another. And any attitude in the fellowship that causes disunity is sin. The Bible says through the psalmist how good it is, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. I believe is that Psalm 135? 133. And also the Bible says in Proverbs 6, six things the Lord doth hate, yea, seven is abomination unto him. And the last sin on that list of deadly sins is he that soweth discord amongst brethren. God hates his church to have disunity. And so, you know, the church, the title of the session is Organized for Ministry. And many times, you know, if you're witnessing for Jesus, if you're going into homes, invariably, if you haven't run into this, you will. Well, I don't believe in organized religion. And one of the favorite jokes I never get tired of saying is, will that come to Centerview? We're very disorganized. You'll be very happy. You'll be very pleased. That excuse will be taken away. Well, it's you know, sometimes there's a little bit of truth in jest. But the truth is, God does organize us into a body. And a body has parts. A body has a head. Ultimately, the Lord Jesus is the head. Pastor Mark is one of his sayings is an organization without a head is a what? A monster. So we are a fellowship. We do have, and the Bible says many times, we are a family. Look with me, well, at your handout, 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, have compassion one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. And so every newsletter that I begin, you know, in a sense, we're organized like a family is organized. And so I always say in my newsletters, and I've been doing this for years and years, and old habits die hard if they die at all, so it probably will happen as long as I'm here. Dear family of faith. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. It doesn't matter our color. It doesn't matter our ethnicity. It does not matter our language. It does not matter if we're all from America, what part of America we came from, whether we're a transplanted Yankee like your pastor. We are family. Two of our dear brothers here over the years have been Clyde Headley and Clyde Ed. And I used to love to say, one was a pastor, one was a deacon. Meet my brother Clyde, meet my other brother Clyde. We are brothers and sisters. We are family. The church is a body. I started to mention that a few moments ago. You know, as you read, and we've already looked at this, but as you read in 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, I believe 1 Peter 4, as the Bible speaks about diversity of gifts, it talks about diversity of gifts within the body. We are a body. Christ is the head of that body, but dear ones, we're a body, and a body is not a business. As your handout says, a body is an organism. And so we have many members, as Romans 12 says, in one body. And all the members do not have the same functions, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. So at Centerview Baptist Church, we are a family, we are a fellowship, we are a body. We're going to see in just a few minutes here, we're a flock, but we believe every individual member within the family, within the body, within the fellowship, within the flock, has a God-given role for ministry. You know, and so I would just say this. Eric played the piano this evening. Miss Harriet played the piano this morning. Your pastor preached. Ushers ushed. Child care workers took care of babies. We all have different gifts. And if someone, you know, has been gifted to sing, like the choir and like Brother Johnny with a high tenor voice, you know, we have to say, praise the Lord. The Lord gave them that marvelous voice. They didn't make that voice. I mean, some of us, you know, can't carry a tune. God didn't gift us that way, but he gifted us another way. And so something happened with when I typed this, that the columns got skewed. But let me just tell you the various kinds of ministries, you know, we are organized for here at Centerview Baptist Church. We have Bible study fellowship. I urge this morning everyone to get involved in a Sunday school class. Remember, we have 24 hours in a day, 168 hours in the week. If we tithe our hours, God should get exclusively 16.8 of those. And I made the case that, you know, if you came to church on Sunday morning and Sunday school on Sunday evening, we'll give you 3 or 4 hours with travel time included and so forth. Come back on Wednesday, there's another hour. But here's the thing. Every one of us is gifted to serve somewhere within this fellowship. So we have Sunday school, we have deacons ministries, we have ladies Bible studies, we have ushering, we have stewardship team who takes care of our finances. While we built this building, we had a master's planning team. And, you know, folks like Brother Leon and Brother Robert and many others sat through long meetings to decide, you know, what the color of the carpet should be. And, you know, should the platform have vinyl simulated wood? And this is actually rubber. It's not wood. It's kind of easy on the feet. You know, and so there you go. We have church outreach, those who are gifted to share the gospel with others. We have youth ministries. Miss Billy and Sherm and the McCord family are with their youth. My goodness, on Sunday morning as you go through the Children's Center, we could not be Centerview Baptist Church if we didn't have scores of people who are working with preschool. And I'm talking about children, you know, from birth, you know, through pre-kindergarten, kindergarten teachers, first and second grade teachers, third and fourth grade teachers, fifth and sixth grade teachers, and on it goes. We have groundskeepers. We have those who came in and decorated and bought banners and put lights on trees. You know, sometimes there are some folks in the church who just kind of show up, you know, kind of like the book, the Little Red Hen, you know, who will help me? And no one wanted to help, but it was time to eat. Everyone wanted to eat. So sometimes people ask me, well, how does all this get done? And I remember saying to one of our youth workers, because he would never seem to come when it was time to work, just when it was time to eat. And I said, oh, we actually have little fairies that come in after everyone leaves, and they do all these things. No, we all are gifted. We all have a place to serve. We have home Bible studies. We have hostess and hospitality. You know, Mrs. Bates, Diane's mother, has been ill. I'll tell you what, you know, if you give a cup of cool water in Jesus' name, the Bible says you'll no wise lose your reward. And I have witnessed many people bringing them meals, and it's a delight. It's a joy. It's wonderful to see the body of Christ. We have our Awana Club. Tonight we're giving people off time for good behavior for the holidays and so forth. But typically on a Sunday night, we have 150 people back there teaching. That's including children and leaders teaching children how to memorize scripture. We have the food pantry. We have the prayer chain. We have music ministries. We have things like Vacation Bible School, things like youth camp. Tomorrow morning, there'll be some who come to gather to count the tithes and the offerings and make the deposit slips and all these things, and on it goes. And dear ones, we all have our place. That's what we believe. And your pastor has said this. You know, God has gifted me to preach, and he has called me to be a pastor. And you will probably not believe me if I say this, but there was a time in my life where I had a great fear of public speaking, where I would begin to I mean, I knew God had called me, and I'm like, why, God, would you call me? I just can't get a coherent sentence out. I start shaking. I start, you know, the first couple times I preached, you know, you think I'm teasing, but I'm not. So here's the thing. It's a supernatural thing. Sometimes it happens to fit what your general talents are. Sometimes it doesn't. But so here's my attitude. If God has called me to preach and I'm preaching and I'm doing under His enablement, under His empowerment, if I'm doing the best I can dependent upon Him, remember, He's the vine. We're just branches. But if He abides in us and we abide in Him, we'll bring forth fruit. But apart from Him, we can do nothing. Through Christ, we can do all things. So if I'm preaching through Christ, depending on Him, and a lady is back there changing a diaper right now through Christ, depending on Him, here's my belief. We're both just simply serving God in our appointed place of duty, and God gets the glory. So while some positions within the body are more visible, every part of the body is vital. And you know, many times when we, Pastor Mark and others, and I had the privilege to go into homes, here's what I love to hear. Well, I'll tell you what, we came to church, and that nursery is so organized. The people back there love the babies. We said, honey, this is our church. We found our church. By the way, someone told me years ago, a pastor of a mega church of 10,000, how did you start? Because it wasn't always that way. And here's what he said. I started in the nursery. You take care of the babies, everything else. Well, if you're going to have young families, you got to take care of the babies. Good word of wisdom. Well, let's talk for a few moments about our affiliation. You know, again, back to the joke, some people saying, I can't stand organized religion, which, by the way, is a smokescreen. All such statements are smokescreens so we don't have to deal with the lordship, with the surrender of our lives to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But let's talk about this for a few minutes. How are we organized? You know, there are some Baptist churches that call themselves independent, and typically the word that goes with that is fundamental Baptist churches. And Baptist churches, whether they're Southern Baptists, such as Centerview, or independent Baptists, oftentimes pride themselves on their independence, on their autonomy. We are under no one. Sometimes they even leave out the Lord Jesus, I think. They go so far. But the truth of the matter is, many Baptist churches love more than anything else their autonomy. No one tells us what to do. We're not under a pope or a potentate. We're independent. Well, as Southern Baptists, we voluntarily cooperate with other Southern Baptist churches. So in the United States of America, and that includes, of course, Hawaii and Alaska, there are the handout needs to be updated. I believe there are approximately 45,000 Southern Baptist churches throughout these United States of America. In North Carolina, which is, you know, we're in the Bible Belt, probably nearly 10% of those churches exist in North Carolina. In North Carolina, I've lost track, but something in the neighborhood of 4,300 Baptist churches. But at Centerview Baptist Church, we align ourselves, first of all, with the local assembly of churches. So in eastern North Carolina, in Onslow County, and there's a few churches in Duplin County and in Jones County, and is it Pender? But at any rate, there are four counties, but most of the churches are here in Onslow County. There are, is it 32, Pastor Mark? And some of the churches have disbanded. Some of the churches have like Pillar Church has just been added. So we're at about 34 churches in the New River Baptist Association. And at times we do things together. And so once a month, the pastors get together. And by the way, many pastors don't play well with others. So when we say the pastors get together, it's about 30% of the pastors from those 34 churches that will come together. Sometimes we do a crusade together where we partner together to bring in sometimes, you know, like a more well-known evangelist. And so there's many different things. We've ministered to the military together. When Iraqi freedom broke out and And I can't remember, and when Desert Storm, Desert Shield happened, there were times where the city gathered together. I know one time we did something like, some ridiculous number of cakes, something like 10,000 cakes were brought to, there was a parade. Do you remember that day back in downtown Jacksonville? They actually had a parade when, and 2MEF marched. And so, you know, little things that we do from time to time where we gather, together. When we, have meetings. We just recently hosted a meeting. Not only do we have the local association called the New River Baptist Association, we have something in our state called the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina. And again, what does that mean? Well, we have a Baptist hospital in Winston-Salem. We have Baptist children's homes from time to time. We have a family in Centerview where a child may be just incorrigible, and just the parents can't work with them. Sometimes a child is put into a Baptist children's home because of abandonment. Other times it's because of rebellion. But so here's the thing. We have, Brother Johnny, help me out. How many Baptist children's homes? Because his daddy worked at the Kennedy home for years. Is it something like 10 or about 10 homes across the state of North Carolina? We have Baptist colleges in the state of North Carolina and so forth. And so the 4,300 Baptist churches cooperate together and we pool our resources. So every Sunday, we not only give to missionaries that we support directly in the Philippines and in South America and on the continent of Africa in the form of the Connards, but we give a percentage of our tithes and offerings to the local association, to the state convention, and then we have something called the Southern Baptist Convention, which is all the churches gathered together. We have an annual conference, and in that association, we have 5,000 missionaries who are full-time missionaries around the globe. And so when we give our tithes and offerings, some of that goes to support those missionaries. And in fact, when we give our gifts to the Lottie Moon Mission offering, the same thing happens there as well. And so some people say, well, that's all fine dandy, but why don't we just be an independent church? I need to let us know that in the truest sense, we are still independent. What do I mean by that? Well, if I have a stroke this evening and you are without a pastor, first of all, because we're a larger church and we have multiple pastors, you don't have to do anything because Pastor Mark's already here. But let's say we're going together somewhere we get whacked going down the highway. Pastor Mike is driving and he pulls out in front of a semi. Well, so what do you do? Well, here's the thing. In some churches, here's how it happens. We'll let you know when your new pastor comes. There are churches, I'm not going to start naming denominations, but that's how it works. You don't pick your pastor is picked for you. So let me just say this. Southern Baptists, though we voluntarily cooperate, we are independent in the sense that we choose our own pastors. We ordain our own deacons. We set our own budget. We set our own ministry goals and objectives. So we cooperate mutually of our own free will for the cause of Christ, and yet we remain independent. No one tells us what to do. And I will say this at the same time. Let's say, and I'm just using an example. Let me pick an example here. You know, one of the issues that's a hot button issue in our day and age. Anyone watch Duck Dynasty? If at Centerview Baptist Church, I'm just going to say this point blank. If Pastor Mike officiated at a wedding ceremony between two individuals who happen to be both of the same sex, in other words, if I did a same sex marriage, here's what would happen, and here's what should happen. The local association would call up and say, you can't be a part of our association anymore. We have disfellowshipped you. The state convention would say, you know, we love you. We're not judging you, but here's the thing. You can't be part of us. And then the convention would say, Pastor Mike, I have you lost leave of your senses? But you're not, you can do whatever you can be Centerview Community Church, but you can't be Centerview Southern Baptist Church. So there's, while no one controls us, and may I just tell you, what I just said is not hypothetical. We have Baptist churches that have done that, and the steps have been taken, and that's a controversial issue. And let me just say, Centerview Baptist Church, we love sinners. Jesus died for sinners. We were once lost and undone, and Christians have a very short memory of what it was like to be unsaved. And so we never are bitter or hateful or mean-spirited. In fact, we have those who are homosexuals who have come to Centerview. We have issues in the church who have struggled with that issue, and we love them. But what we don't do is, because we love them, not tell them the truth. We speak the truth, but always, always, always in love. Well, so let's talk for a few moments now about our strategy. Every Sunday morning when I preach the gospel, as long as God gives me strength and breath, every service is concluded with an invitation. John Piper, who used to be the pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church, is it in Minneapolis, Minnesota? It's in Minnesota, St. Paul, one of those big cities, said this: for the pastor to preach the gospel, passionately present Jesus Christ, and then sit down without making an appeal to the volition of the listeners, in other words, without offering an invitation, it's sad. It would be like going to a salesman who made the case for buying the car, and then at the end of the meeting said, bye, see you later. You know, whoa, aren't you going to try to close the deal? And so let me say that every worship service, with few exceptions, there are always times when there's something different that's happening. But by and large, day in, day out, week in, week out, we will always give an opportunity to tell those who have been attending Centerview Baptist Church to welcome them to membership. Now, you know, your pastor says it does you no good to be a member of Centerview if you're first not a member of the body of Christ. On the way here, I was listening to FM 90.7, the Fundamental Broadcast Network, and they were singing a song that I used to sing in my youth. Oh, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Boom, 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 boom. You know, and the trumpets, it was good old-fashioned music like I was raised on. Well, listen, we realize that we live in a day and age where people are hesitant to join. And I don't mean to be rude. Young couples move in together and are hesitant to make a commitment to one another. And we've gotten to the point in our society where I got to tell you, that's no longer like a shame thing. In fact, it's kind of like, you know, just whatever, you know. As a pastor, people sometimes come for premarital counseling. You know, they'll call the church, will you marry me? And to which I always reply, no thanks, I'm already married. And they say, no, well, would you proficiate at our wedding? Well, let's talk. And so this happens again and again and again, where young people will say, now listen, we're not foolish about this, Pastor Mike. We've been living together for a good while now. We really feel that we know each other and we're ready now to be committed. And I will just tell you that 20 or 30 years ago, you wouldn't have told the preacher that. You would have just kind of kept that to yourself. That would have been something you were actually proud of. It would have been something you were ashamed of. Well, there ones, I'm not trying to equate non-membership with people who are living together, but here's what I want to say. There is a tendency away from commitment during our day. And here's our goal. We have lots and lots of people who attend Centerview Baptist Church who are not members. And we want to bring them from just attending the church to being saved, to trusting Christ as their Savior and Lord, to be born again, and then to actually join the church. And we know that salvation is by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. But to be a member, then you have to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And it is a picture of the gospel. We had 5 baptisms this morning. I had said 4, Mark at 8:30, but I forgot about one. We had 5, and it's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. Not only that, we want to bring them to Christian maturity. Not only that, we want to bring them to the place where they serve. Now, at Centerview Baptist Church, I'm looking at my dear friend Chris Cardoli, and we served together at the Naval Hospital of Corpus Christi system 20 years ago. Wow, life is coming at us fast, isn't it, Brother Chris? He's here. His family, I believe, is in South Carolina. He worships with us. When there's holidays, he scoots down as he should to be with his family. So we have folks, we have lots of folks with, in various circumstances like that. But generally speaking, if someone is not a member of the church and they're coming to Centerview, we're hoping that they move from just attending to actually joining, to growing in Christ and to serving Christ. We believe every one of us has been saved to serve. In fact, we have a roster called Saved to Serve. And all the litany of volunteer areas in the church that I just mentioned, they're on a piece of paper. And the pastor's desire and goal is to get you plugged in somewhere, to get you serving. And, you know, I'll pick out someone like Miss Christine. Miss Christine, I can't tell you how much joy you bring Diane and I and Pastor Mark and Miss Denise and the family of faith, you know, seeing your progression of faith and serving the Lord, not only now teaching in the public school system, but teaching here at the Centerview Baptist Church. So we want to bring folks from just, you know, forgive me, from warming the pew to finding a place of service within the body. Your handout shows biblical reasons. It's a sign of our commitment to the Lord. The Lord Jesus loved the church. He gave himself for the church. You know, the Lord is committed to the church. We need to be committed to him. It's the cultural reasons. It's an antidote to society. We have folks doing the church hop and the church shop during our day and age. And there's someone in our church who told me years ago, and she no longer comes at all, my commitment is to the Lord and not to a person and not to a church. The Holy Spirit tells me every Sunday where to go. And if I feel like this Sunday, I'm going to go to this fellowship. And then next Sunday, I'm going to go to this. My commitment is to the Lord. It's not to a man, not to a body, not to a church. Like, well, I hope there's someone there to teach the children when you show up that day. I hope there's someone there to ran a bulletin. I hope there's someone's ready to sing a song or preach a message. You know, it's hypocrisy, really, at the end of the day. And so we don't want membership that we don't want to be sheep stealers. Hey, we got a better deal going on than our church next door. We want you all to run over here and be a member. That's not what we want. We want folks who don't know the Lord to come to know the Lord. And in Jacksonville, we're a little bit different because we have a lot of folks that are new to the community. They're not new to the church. They're not new to Christ, but they're looking for a church. And frankly, they'll look at Centerview because we have an Awana Club, because we have expository preaching, because we have a maturity where Jesus is Lord, Jesus is glorified. And they'll look at things like our website. And so we are glad to attract people who are new to town, but we don't want to do the church hop. One of our youth guys used to sing, don't be doing that church hop, hop, hop. Once you start, you just can't stop doing the hop. Well, listen, we don't want to be hopping from church to church. And then again, that's the reason for membership. It defines who can be counted on. It produces spiritual growth. And let's close with these thoughts. What is expected of me as a member? Now, someone just left the church, and one of the reasons they left the church is they said, Pastor Mike promotes easy believism. Easy believism. Okay. First of all, I will never please everyone. Who was it that said you can please some of the people? Some of the time you can please some of the people all the time, but you're not going to please all the people all the time. So my job is not to please man. My job is to please the Lord. Do I plead week in, week out, come to Christ? Why will you perish? Look into me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth? Yes. Do I promote easy believism? I don't think so. At Centerview Baptist Church, we want a regenerate church membership, and you must sit down one-on-one with someone like Brother Lanny or someone like Pastor Mark, and you must be able to, you know, and we will share the gospel. And in fact, here's, you know how I roll. I will say to someone, if I'm in your living room, we meet, we chat, we talk about family and, you know, hobbies and activities and where we're from, and then we eventually, you know, graciously attempt to move the conversation to Christ. And so I will often say, if you were to stand before the Lord and he was to say, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? Now, easy believism. Are you a Christian? Sure. Check that block. Okay. Would you like to be a part of our church? Now, listen. I can park myself in the sanctuary. It does not make me a Christian. I can park myself in my garage. That doesn't make me a car. And so here's what we want. We want to hear them say that by the grace of God, they've repented of their sin and put all their faith and trust and confidence in what Jesus did for them on the cross. Going to heaven is not about what you've done. It's about who you have trusted. So you will not, as Pastor Mark and I have strength, you will not be on the roll of Centerview Baptist Church if you're not first on the roll of heaven. So we do not believe in easy believism. You know, we to make sure people know the person and of the gospel, and his name, as I said this morning, is Jesus. He's the one who suffered for us. He's the one who died for us on the cross. He's the one who rose again from the dead on the third day that we must be justified, that we might be justified from our sins. And so we don't promote easy believism, but we do want people to believe. And we do want people to move to the place of membership within the body of Christ. So what does it mean to be a member? It means several things. First of all, that you will be committed to protect the unity of the church. Have you noticed as you read through the New Testament, God doesn't like gossip? And here's what we need to understand. If someone will talk behind your back to someone else, you know, if they'll talk with you about someone else, when you're gone, they'll also talk about you. You understand that. And so one of the things we need to strive to do is not say, you know, what did our mothers teach us? If you don't have something nice to say about Billy, then don't say anything at all. Thanks, Mom. Good advice. And so here's the thing. We need to protect the unity of the church. And so if someone wants to come and gossip about, Brother Eric, the first thing out of your mouth should be, have you talked to Brother Eric about this? Why don't you go to him? He's a reasonable person. I've known Eric for a lot of years. I'll bet you if you sit down with him and just tell him your beef one-on-one, you guys can work that out. And so we need to be committed to protect the unity of the body. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, Ephesians 4:29. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Now, sometimes we have to understand, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes we have to tell someone we love something painful. And if we love them, we will do that. But what we won't do is be a part of discord in the body of Christ. A membership, what's expected you of membership? To share the responsibility, to share the load. Now, I will tell you, I love to preach. I love to preach. Went from being afraid to the point of literally getting sick. I mean, literally having the dry heaves or having diarrhea, you know, the whole week prior to preaching, to the place where I love to preach. But let me just tell you, after I preached 3 times, I love it. When Brother Robert says, go home, Pastor Mike, got the lockup. Sure do. Skedaddle, please. I always feel a little bit guilty, but I thanks, Robert. Thanks, brother. We're going to share the load. We're going to carry the load. We're going to do our part. We're not going to be just, you know, what's in it for me? Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. I'll commit myself to serve within the ministry, discover what my spiritual gifts are. We believe everyone's gifted with at least one spiritual gift. Allow yourself to be committed or to be equipped by your pastors. By the way, that's why I am such a strong advocate for the Sunday school. In the preaching event, you get a one-way communication from the pastor. I mean, hopefully it's a little bit two-way when I look at your faces and get feedback. You're with me or I'm confusing you. But in Sunday school, you actually get to talk to one another. That is where you really can grow relationally with the members of the church and ask questions and get your questions answered. It's a totally different dynamic. So we need to once again serve somewhere in the body of Christ. We need to support the testimony of our church. And how can we do that? Number one, by living a godly life. I love it when I'm out in the town and someone talks in a positive way about a member of Centerview Baptist Church. It gives me joy deep joy when I hear about one of our members who has touched someone in our community. And we want to say this, we need to live a godly life. The Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, sin is a reproach to any people. We want the members of Centerview Baptist Church, you know, the Bible says depart. Those that bear the name of Christ need to depart from iniquity. And so it means you're committed to living a godly life. I could go on and on there. I'm just going to leave it there. You're going to attend faithfully. You know, family of faith, I would say this. I would rather have you be active at a sister church than on the roll of Centerview and inactive. Sometimes old school Southern Baptists say, well, in fact, I'll just tell you, I met someone years ago out in town, still know the person, a wonderful person. I love her, you know, immensely. But see, you know, I'm still a member of that church. I sure am. I joined there and when I was in the fourth grade and I never moved my, I'm still a member of that church. wrong answer. You were purged years ago from the, you know, if you're not coming, if you're not serving, if you're not tithing, if you're not, you know, no one knows your name, you know, you're not a member of, it's not something on a ledger somewhere. And so we want members to be committed to attend. And this is very personal, but there's an old saying, if you want to, If I want to know about your life, your commitment to the Lord, I'll ask to see two things. Show me your schedule and show me your checkbook. And I'll see where you, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so we're going to support the testimony of our church by giving of our wealth, of our tithes, of our offerings. And I can't say it any better than Jesus said it. It is more blessed to give, than to receive. And so I'm not ashamed to say we believe in tithing at Centerview Baptist Church, that we're not legalistic about that. Sometimes, here's the truth, sometimes there are those who come to our church and, you know, the Bible says that we are to remember the poor. We are to minister to those who are downcast. And so sometimes it's the other way around. We give instead of receive. But let me just say this. I wish our government would understand this. You can't have more people on the take than giving. You know, there's an old saying: if your outflow exceeds your intake, your upkeep will be your downfall. In other words, you can't spend more than you make. And so, at Centerview Baptist Church, we graciously, cheerfully give our tithe. When we do that, when the majority of the people do that, guess what? We're able to support missionaries. We're able to have pastors. We're able to have a facility. We're able to do good works in the name of Jesus to those who are going through unfortunate times. I will never forget when my dad was in a terrible automobile accident. I was 21 years of age. I was in the Navy. He hit a bridge in the city of Detroit and was critically injured. I will never forget the deacons of the church coming by to hug my mom or shake hands with my mom, and when she would pull her hand back, there was money for groceries for the kids. I came from a family of eight kids. There are still many kids living at home. I will never forget the impact that had on my life. Father, we thank you that you've put us into a family, the body of Christ. We thank you that you've placed us here at the Centerview Family of Faith. And Lord, we want to say that we love you. We pray that you will continue to bless and add to your church just as we began from Acts 2. You add to the church daily those who are being saved. Father, we pray that you would continue that work in our day. In Jesus' name.